To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, host of America's fastest streaming podcast.
Yeah.
The Weekly Worldview.
Faster than 128 bits per second.
148, I think.
Just flies.
It's the fastest streaming, and there's a brand new one up from last night.
Well,
check it out.
And it's a hot show. Doug, on today's Bob Enyart Live, we are going to provide complete Oscar coverage.
Comprehensive.
From red carpet to the last man out of the building.
Every bit.
Everything that's important from the Oscars.
All right.
So let's start.
Let's start with Matthew McConaughey, who won the best. He won an award for something.
Whatever.
And he said in his acceptance speech, "First off, I want to thank God. That's who I look up to." And the crowd grew rather quiet. They were unsure how to react. And now in other news.
Yeah, I'd say that's it for the Oscars.
I think that's it, yeah.
So, yeah. Matthew says a lot about Hollywood.
He mentioned God.
You'd think in a normal gathering of folks, at least quite a few people would.
There would be some cheers going.
Applaud.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us life.
Yeah, you would think, but not in Hollywood.
Thank you for our consciousness. Thank you for our conscience that points us to right versus wrong.
Yes. And thank you for this beautiful creation that you've given us to enjoy.
Yeah.
All the animals
from
and the
our
plants.
Studio here. I'm looking out over the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
It's stunning.
It's gorgeous.
It's amazing.
What a beautiful day out.
God in his mercy would allow us to enjoy such things while there are such terrible things happening. Yeah. Although there are a couple of encouraging. Well, actually, there's one encouraging story on the personhood front.
Yes.
And then there's a discouraging story on the homeschooling front that I hope we can get to later on in the broadcast.
Well, which I think we should mention Justina's family is celebrating. You know, I don't know if you saw Keith Mason.
Yes, of course.
President of Personhood USA on
Fox News.
Kelly File.
Yeah.
Fox News this past weekend.
Right, with Justina's father.
Yes.
Where Keith stood up for the human personhood of Justina and the insult that the state of Massachusetts was inflicting not only against her, but against the idea
of
the
Romney Care rules health care in Massachusetts.
That's true.
And so this family, for 13 months, they have been abused by the government system.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And so we should tell our audience a little bit about that, but tremendous movement in the case. In fact, there's three reasons to celebrate today.
Yeah.
And that's after just a couple days of Personhood USA getting involved. Getting people, Keith put out the call to phone the judge.
Absolutely.
Not on the air, not on Fox, but through Personhood USA.
Right.
The judge, last count I've heard, the judge got at least 1,000 phone calls.
Yeah, well, I was one of those. I got the phone call on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Immediately hit one and got right through to the judge. And the young lady who was answering the phone, she was as nice as she could be, but it was obvious she was overwhelmed. Mm. She knew exactly why I was calling, exactly who I wanted to talk to.
Well, you know Connie Sharon.
A lot of
You've
pressure.
You've heard of her?
I have.
Connie
Sharon. She's a legend.
She does customer service here at Bob Enyart Live. She was in Florida on vacation. She got a call from Personhood USA.
Yeah.
She's talking to the judge's chambers from West Palm Beach.
So,
people all over the country. So it's other reasons, too. But do you have examples of...
God bless Personhood USA, first of all, for activating their grassroots in an effort that one might, on the face of it, not think is immediately related to things that Personhood USA is doing a lot of other work on. But Justina's personhood is just another example of the dignity that all innocent human beings should have in relation to the state, especially.
Well, on Fox, Keith Mason pointed out that if you look at these photos of Justina from the last weeks, she looks so terrible. He said, this is Justina under the government's care, where they're treating her like property, not like a person.
Yeah.
And these are all the photos under her parents' care, her family's care.
And she looked...
What a difference.
She looked fairly good. She didn't look well, but she looked a lot better than she looked under the care of the government.
Well, yeah.
And it's just, it's a credit to Personhood USA that they're taking their very limited budget. They're not a big budget organization, and they're fighting Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. That's one of the best funded political entities in history.
Right.
And they take time and money out of their limited budget to fight for Justina because they're dedicated to the dignity of all human persons and the right to life. And against the state kidnapping people. Mm. Just to give the audience an idea, there are the three things that happened. Number one, there was a gag order against the family, against her family. They were not supposed to speak about this.
Right, well, right. Now, that's an injustice
That's
there.
That's unbelievable.
It's an absolute injustice. In fact, let's go to Josh Craddock with Personhood USA out of their New York City office. Josh Craddock, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live, Josh.
Bob and Doug, it's great to be on with you guys.
Bless you.
Thank you. We're just talking about Justina's case, the wonderful results just within a few days of Personhood USA getting involved. Can you tell us, Josh, you've been in the middle of this, what's happening?
Well, the Pelletier family has really been under the thumb of the Department of Children and Families for the last year. But just in the last week, because of the, you know, national media spotlight that has been placed on this case, and, you know, we've worked really hard funneling calls into the court system, the judge's office, sending letters to state legislators, and they've introduced a resolution to free her. So they're really feeling the pressure right now. And so today they made several key concessions. And I heard you were just mentioning a few of them on the air, but
we just started with the gag order. So go ahead.
What happened with the gag order?
Well, they had placed this gag order on the family, basically preventing them from speaking out about their daughter's plight. And so that gag order has been withdrawn, is no longer in effect.
Hey.
You know, the dad had spoken out about it. Basically, you know, I don't blame him. He went on, you know, national television and told people about what was going on.
Well, Josh, I was concerned, Josh, when I saw what the father was saying, because it seemed to me that he was in violation of that order and was putting himself at risk.
Yeah, and let's talk about this for a moment. It's one thing if a court is hearing a case of a claimed libel or slander. And so the court, to try to get control of an out-of-control situation, says, I want both parties not to speak publicly. Perhaps that's within the court's, you know, just domain.
Okay.
But when the case is an individual family against the government taking their child away, there is no conceivable justification for the government to say to the family, you're not allowed to speak about this. It's not conceivably
just. Yeah, and Matt Staver, you know, one of the lead counsel from Liberty Counsel, one of the lead attorneys there, you know, he's been on this case, and he looked at the gag order and, you know, basically said it was blatantly unconstitutional and you know, just an attempt to restrict this family from speaking out.
Right, yeah. But the father, he showed a tremendous amount of courage because he did speak out. Now, is he going to get in trouble for speaking out?
Well, that's actually the second part that came out of today's hearing is that no contempt charges will be filed against the family for speaking out.
Praise
so that's
Lord.
Also, you know, another victory for them.
All right.
Well, they had to be nervous about that. I was thinking that watching it. Very brave fellow.
All right. What else, Josh?
Yeah. Well, the last victory today was that the responsibility for Justina's medical care was transferred to Tufts Medical Center.
That's the big
family.
That's the big success today.
Well, that is huge.
That's today. And it's huge because that's what the Pelletiers have been asking for the last 12 months, is to return Justina to the Tufts doctors that had been seeing her, you know, previously and had diagnosed her with the mitochondrial disease.
Now, this is
and to return her to her doctors.
This is a renowned medical facility. They made a diagnosis of this young girl, and the state of Massachusetts determined that the family was wrong to try to treat this girl based on that diagnosis. And on those grounds, they took custody away from the family, which is
right. Yeah. This doctor came in and within 12 hours had completely re-diagnosed her, supposedly with a psychological illness, and accused the parents of medical abuse when they were just following the instructions from the Tufts doctors who had already prescribed treatment and medication for her. So,
yeah,
it was definitely a case where they had overstepped their boundaries. It was a, you know, huge government bureaucracy getting involved and, you know, taking this this girl away from her family that loves her and wants to care for her.
Yeah, and we talk about with government health care like Romney Care, like Obamacare, death panels.
Yeah.
When the government is the one providing your health care, they're making the health care decisions. That is government intrusion massively, in addition to all the other areas that the government has no business being involved in our lives. And this comes down to kids and kids' health care and their families. And so what a socialist catastrophe we have working out in our country today.
So, Josh, is this it? Is Justina free now? Is her family got her back? What's the situation?
Well, even though there were these three significant victories today, we do have to redouble our efforts until Justina is actually free, because until she is released from DCF's custody and returned to her parents' custody, we're going to have to keep fighting, keep talking to legislators about this. And so, you know, the Department of Children and Families, the DCF, they're, they've released a statement that they're trying to, they're begun a process of transferring custody to Connecticut Department of Children and Families, but, you know, actions speak louder than words. So we're going to keep this, the Free Justina campaign is going to continue to pressure them until Justina is returned home.
And Josh, you said that a resolution is in the works in the state legislature?
Yeah, thanks to the lobbying efforts from, some of the campaign members, including Person in USA, there's been a few assemblymen who have introduced a resolution, and they've gathered a number of co-sponsors on it. And it was basically the resolution would free Justina from Massachusetts DCF's custody, and then secondly, start investigating, the bureaucracy there to, see how this could have happened, because this isn't an isolated incident. There's been, other families that have gone through this for shorter amounts of time, and of course, it hasn't gotten the same national publicity, but, this is something that's been recurring, and so they want to investigate that and try and stop it.
Josh Craddock, for the last couple of years when we've interviewed you for updates on important events, you have been the personhood liaison to the United Nations there in Manhattan. Could you give us any update? How are the personhood efforts going there in New York and at the UN?
Well, we're working hard there. I'm still over there, and we've built a coalition of a number of non-governmental organizations that are speaking out on pro-life issues at the UN. And so we're actually coming up on an annual conference on women. And usually this is a time when, the International Planned Parenthood Federation and other organizations like that gather together, and they try and push for an internationally recognized right to abortion.
In other words, they push for
expanding abortion access.
In other words, they push for more child killing.
Yeah.
That's what they push for.
Exactly. And they try and do it all over the world.
So that's what they're doing.
Especially in Africa and Asia.
Right. So what are you guys up to?
Well, this year we're preparing for that conference again. And I just want to say we've been very successful at stopping that. They have not been able to introduce language into international law that would recognize abortion as a right. In fact, we've strengthened a lot of the language that would refers to protecting children from basically before and after birth.
Wow.
So we've strengthened some of that language there, but it's a continual battle, and year after year we keep fighting them. So
I imagine
we're excited
the UN
for the matchup.
So Josh, when you go to present, do you have to actually go into the UN building there?
Yeah.
So how does that work? Do you have to get a penicillin shot immediately after, or can you wait a couple days? Anyway,
it's like going behind enemy lines.
Amen. I tell you what, it's like the lion's den, and we just appreciate you being out there and all the work that Personhood USA does. And thanks for keeping us up to date, and thanks for fighting to free Justina, and the fight goes on.
All right.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome.
Amen, brother.
Josh Craddock with Personhood USA. So if you would like to stay involved, go to personhoodusa.com. Just sign a petition. Make sure they have your email ID, and you'll find out updates as you need to, as we all need to.
And we'll all be hearing more about the Brady Amendment, Amendment 67, which will be on the ballot.
Yeah, it is on the ballot.
It will be. Yes, it is on
right?
the ballot. Yes,
yeah.
But I will actually see it on the
ballot.
We'll
see it.
And you know what the beauty of this is? One of the things I really appreciate that Personhood USA has done is that by putting this question on the ballot, they force everyone in Colorado who decides to vote to go into that booth by themselves, alone, privately, just them and God, and write down, make a mark for where they stand.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that the value of that alone, in this culture where people tend to want to avoid these type of issues, and nobody wants to talk about it, you can't bring it up. It's one of the. Meanwhile, millions of innocent people are being murdered in our midst, in our nice, well-kept communities.
Yeah. Dismembered.
And this is an opportunity to make everybody, for at least a moment, stop and think about it.
Right.
And the spiritual, eternal rewards that will come from that, because hearts and minds will change.
Yeah.
And so we bless those efforts, and we're thankful for the rulings in the family's favor today.
Yeah. And why do they have, anyway, to back up a moment, before we ever heard of Justina Peltier, her family?
Right.
Why do they have a Department of Children and Family? Why do they even have a department like that, Doug?
So that's...
There should not be... You know, they've turned this into a growth industry. People have careers in this. People get rich. The more that... It's like crime. The criminal industrial complex the babysitting service, which is our state, county, state, and federal penitentiaries and jails.
Prisons and jails.
Right. We've made it, we've turned crime into a growth industry. So there are laws against killing children.
There are already laws to
torturing
protect
children.
There's laws against assault, abuse.
When you create an empire in order to manage children and families through the government, guess what? You're going to fill that infrastructure with families.
Well, and can I say this? I think that there are a lot of people who work in the bureaucracy of Department of Children and Families. Here in Colorado, I think it's the Child Protective Services, right, that we have here.
Yeah.
That's our bureaucracy.
Yeah.
There are many people in that bureaucracy who actually want to help kids, and there are kids being abused.
Well, of course there are.
So
I
don't want to paint with a broad brush. But
oh, I do.
The idea that the government has set up a bureaucracy to manage crimes against children is, to me, almost a fascist idea that the government would have that. Why can't we just have children and families?
If you build it, they will come. So if you build a brand new prison in Colorado, with 15,000 beds, how long before it's filled up and it'll be overcrowded?
Very quickly.
So whenever we build an infrastructure to take care of some kind of dysfunction in society, you end up with more of that dysfunction.
And there is an epidemic of dysfunctional families and child abuse. I believe there is an epidemic.
Absolutely there is. And the social services industry does nothing to end that epidemic.
No, I agree.
It just furthers the epidemic.
And let me clarify. While I state that I believe there are people in there who think they're doing good and do some good for certain kids, the bureaucracy, the structure is overall, it's corrosive and it's unproductive.
Right.
It produces more. Right. And Bob, I think this all comes down to the decriminalization. Go ahead.
Could you hold that thought?
Yes.
Don't lose that thought. For example, let's say police go in, they find out a child is being burned with cigarettes.
Okay.
Right? So they take the father. Immediately, he's flogged. You know? He's punished. That's something like that should happen. He should be, his punishment should be corporal.
And immediate.
Not just put in jail for 6 months when his wife has to take care of the kids.
Right.
The guy goes in prison, he watches porn videos, and he plays basketball.
And gets drugs.
And the mother, wife, is the one who suffers. She's the one paying the penalty.
That is a dysfunctional
The whole
system.
Thing is a joke, right? And then the kids end up in government, some government infrastructure. Well, if the system functioned appropriately, that government infrastructure wouldn't exist.
Wouldn't be necessary.
The police go in, they find these kids are being abused. They take the kids... And they punish the parents, however, appropriately.
Right.
And they go to the kid's family, extended family, church, and say, somebody needs, who should these kids be with? They should be with grandma. They should be with the neighbor. They should be with the church, whoever. but not with the government, which creates a bloated infrastructure that is far more concerned about the infrastructure than it is about Justina Peltier or any of these kids.
Bob, you should file for governor today.
Who?
We need you to file to run for governor.
Of which state? Well, if nominated, I will not run.
I will.
And if elected, I shall not.
Whatever state you want, we'll find a way to rent you an apartment or a P.O. box, whatever the requirements are.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of clear, godly thinking.
Clear thinking that is completely unavailable even to our conservative Christian politicians for the most part.
They have no idea.
They can't think outside the box. They think inside the box of our perverse and socialist country.
Yeah.
That's how our conservative Christian political leaders think for the most part.
It's really sad. That's why I didn't watch the Republican debate the other night. There was a gubernatorial debate. Gubernatorial debate. I didn't watch it because
I watched the Raisinette debate.
I could. All right, now. There's other things, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the reason there's an epidemic of child abuse, I believe.
Yeah.
It's related to the decriminalization of pornography and the pornography that's flooding
part.
The country.
Yeah.
Pornography, it's worse than legalizing cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, because there are people who do coke and then they will never do it again because it'll be a bad experience. But pornography is much more insidious, and it's turning people into perverts.
Yeah, and Christians, and pastors, and elders.
Everywhere.
And, you know, one thing I got to give Ray Comfort credit for, we've had him on the show.
Love Ray Comfort.
To talk about his video 180, tremendous video.
Phenomenal.
About the Nazis and abortion and all.
Yeah.
And his video, Evolution versus God.
Right.
Well, he has a new movie out, coming out the end of the month, March 28th, I think it's coming out. It's called Noah.
Well, wait a second.
It's called Noah.
Ray Comfort's movie?
Yeah.
How did he get Russell Crowe? That's quite a...
Oh, no. Not the Russell Crowe one. This one is starring Ray Comfort.
Okay.
But it doesn't have as big a budget, but it's a really neat movie. And one segment in it, he is talking to Christians and asking them if they watch movies. They go to the theater. They rent movies with nudity in them, with sex scenes. Mm-hmm. And virtually everybody says yes.
Sure. Yeah,
and it's stunningly horrific, and he challenges them, and he says, "Don't you remember what Jesus said about lust and you're guilty in your heart?" And so for the most part, every one of them ended up saying within a minute or two, "You know what? It's wrong for me to do that. I shouldn't do that. Thank you for telling me."
Awesome.
And so I asked a friend of BEL who goes to a good sized church in the Denver area.
Yeah.
And I asked, have you heard your pastor in the last, 20 years, remind the congregation that it's wrong to watch movies with nudity and sex in them, that it's a sin? Hmm. And he said, no. He said, I haven't heard a single pastor, you know, between radio and Christian TV and visiting churches. I haven't heard it in decades.
I've never heard it anywhere except our church. And I was probably in 100 different churches and listen to their sermons over the past 7 years for personhood.
Because of our personhood effort, getting signatures on Sunday mornings.
I just never heard except one church.
Well,
that I'm aware of.
I'm sure there are others. Matt Truella, right?
I hope so.
Missionaries to the Preborn.
Yeah, I hope so.
Flip Benham, Operation Save America.
I hope so.
I'm sure there are thousands. You know,
and if they're listening, they've been spurred to do something.
Yeah, like Elijah said, why am I the only one?
Well
there's 7,000. But for the most part, the Christian church is addicted to pornography, for the most part.
Yes.
And the pastors are addicted to pornography. That's why they don't bring it up.
I believe that's...
If you have a subscription to HBO...
Okay, that's a sin. It's a sin.
And you have a wife and kids.
Yeah.
It's like renting your living room to a strip joint.
Yeah, that's it.
7 nights a week.
A very good analogy.
It's like renting your living room to a strip joint.
Yeah, just allowing that
and
into your home.
There is no such thing as a man who has HBO who is not addicted to porn. There's no such thing.
Wow. That's a pretty bold statement. I would have to agree.
One of our heroes, a neat Christian guy, I guess I won't say his name, but not involved with BEL, but nationally known.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his private life being interviewed. And they said, what's your favorite TV show? And he mentioned one show, which was one of those mobster shows that was real popular 10 years ago.
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
That's an HBO show.
He said he was devastated when he went off. And then he mentioned a new show, which is HBO or Showtime show.
Something a little more disgusting.
This is a Christian family man.
And you know,
and I thought, what a tragedy.
He has been like so, like, this is why pornography is so insidious, because it desensitizes you. And you may not even realize the destructive influence it's having in your life. Yet it is, and it's destroying families, and it's putting children in danger because it makes people perverted.
Yeah, and I grew up addicted to porn. I'm extremely aware of the dangers.
I was exposed to it
from when I was a kid.
Before I was in second grade, I was exposed to hardcore pornography.
Doug, I had a relative who would have me babysit when I'm like 12, 13 years old, and his house is filled with porn, with his little kids in the house.
Yeah,
filled with porn, like on the kitchen table.
Mm. Wow.
And so that and our Little League coaches, I remember our Little League coaches, Artie and Herbie in New Jersey, Prospect Park, they'd bring porn to, they'd have campouts with their favorite kids. They'd bring beer, wine, and pornography. Audio porn back then and magazines.
Well, it's not unbelievable. It's
and how old are you in Little League?
You're 9, 10, 11?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was before high school.
Yeah. Well, so, in my hometown, there was a way that all the kids walked to the elementary school. Yeah. It was well known, a very small town.
Yeah.
There was a pile of junk that was always there, and someone put dirty magazines under there.
Yeah.
And
so
knowing
the kids
that,
would find it.
And we all found it over the course of a few years.
Exactly.
And
that kind of thing.
That person should be strung up and drawn and quartered.
Oh, yeah. On Judgment Day, we will see these people, and the Lord will bring to remembrance. He won't even have to. All those who've been hurt by people will be there. The Bible says we will judge the world.
Mm.
Do you not know that you will judge the angels? You will judge the world. Mm. So the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians says, start judging. If you Google, should Christians judge?
Yeah.
Look for kgov.com. We should be right near the top.
I imagine you're very close to the top.
Yeah.
You have an article, Judge Rightly is Not Some Guy's Name.
Yeah, which is now titled, Should Christians Judge?
Oh, Should Christians Judge?
Yeah. And of course we should, right?
I think so.
And those who think we shouldn't, don't you dare judge us.
Yeah, don't judge us.
Don't you dare. Don't even think it.
Yeah.
Don't even. So anyway, Doug, we're out of time.
Yeah, we're just about out of time. I had all these other stories. We had a whole lot of other Oscar coverage. Not. We had no other Oscar coverage.
No, that was the only important thing. Yeah. Our telethon, we're up to $11,500.
We need $25,000.
The goal is $25,000. You know, I'm Googling right now. Should
so
Christians
people can
judge?
Call in 1-800-836-9278. Go to the kgov.com. Go to the store.
Doug!
Yeah.
Out of 9 million web pages, should Christians judge? Google ranks KGov.com, Bob and Your Live, the Bob and Doug Show.
Yeah.
On the first page.
All right.
Number 3.
Number 3. All right.
We have ahead of us, we have Answers in Genesis and godsbreath.net.
Okay. Well, we'll have to check them out.
So Google, should Christians judge, and click only on the KGov. That'll help us.
Go. Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, guys. God bless you.